Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're going to go over to the Aaron Spencer case now. This is something we've been talking about on and off for a little while. I know you've been following it a lot, Bob. Aaron Spencer, for those who are just new to this, a father in a small county, Llano County in Arkansas. The subject of this, the other central figure in this, a man named Michael Foster, who's 67 years old, who had been charged with multiple SA offenses, including allegations of grooming, child, you know, material and SA related to Spencer's 14-year-old daughter. So he's already been charged with these offenses against Aaron Spencer's daughter. Well, the judge releases him on parole. And what happens? Well, one night, Aaron gets up, sees his daughter is missing. What happened? Well, good old 67-year-old Michael Fossler, who was released from prison, showed up and kidnapped her. Dad, Aaron, gets in the truck, chases him down, literally has to ram them off the side of the road, gets out, weapon in hand, because you don't know what you're walking into. Somebody just kidnapped your daughter. The guy who's already been charged with essaying your daughter has kidnapped your daughter. Well, it doesn't end well for Mr. Fossler. He ends up getting shot by Aaron Spencer, and I think to most of the world, we'd say, yeah, I'm surprised that's all that happened. I'm surprised you're not in 42 pieces. But he's dead, and now Aaron Spencer is being charged with murder. That's the nuts and the bolts of the case. I think I did it pretty well. What's the latest on where this is all sitting right now, Bob?
So a couple of things that I just want to add to your synopsis. He was actually out on bond. Okay. So he had picked up 43 charges, ranging from SA to the CSAM to the stalking. And this judge, based on these 43 charges ranging from felonies to misdemeanors, decides to give him a $5,000 bond. Okay. And so, and again, just to restate the fact that all of these charges are related to Aaron Spencer's daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what had happened is he had groomed her. He had kind of set sight on her through a mutual friend to both the Spencers and Michael Fossler. Mm-hmm. And the Spencers weren't aware that this guy was around their child at the time. Mm-hmm. So time goes by. She makes an outcry. Okay. And mm-hmm. she says, look, this guy has essayed me on multiple occasions. They bring her in for a CAC interview. It all tracks. They arrest Fossler. This judge gives him a 5K bond. That is 3 months preceding the shooting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to disavow any concept that this was some kind of, vengeance killing or he was a vigilante. Because like if he was a vigilante, the minute that guy walked out, he would have seen fit to go to get
no. Right. Yeah, no. Yeah. This guy kidnapped his daughter in the middle of the night at his house. Yeah.
Correct. So we don't know how she got out.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't know if he went into that house. We don't know. We do know he was communicating with her again, despite the fact that he had a stay away order, not only from the daughter, but the entire Spencer family and the house. Mm-hmm. He didn't care. So he starts communicating with her again, the child, who's 14 at this point. So let's just get that, the 67-year-old creep and the 14-year-old kid who he has groomed to the extent that she has made outcries as to the essays that have been happening. Mm-hmm. He is charged. He's released on a $5,000 bond. He sees fit to start communicating with her again and gets his claws, his predator claws, right back into this child. And whether he draws her out of the house, I don't care. I don't care whether he went into that house and kidnapped her or whether he lured her out. Either way, the 67-year-old man got her out of that house. The dog wakes up the Spencer family. You know, both Aaron and his wife, Heather, are walking around freaking out. They don't find their child. Aaron jumps in the truck. He finds this guy in pretty short order, and he's waving for him to pull over. The guy won't pull over and runs him off the road. At that point, Spencer's screaming for his daughter to get out of the truck. She's not getting out of the truck. He's screaming at Fossler, let my daughter out of the truck. He gets out of his truck, and I'm talking about Michael Fossler. Some kind of interaction takes place, and Fossler ends up dead. And at that point, Aaron Spencer calls 911 immediately, says, I shot this guy. He had my daughter. They then subsequently charge him with the murder. And, you know, this is a case that we're following very heavily. I'm very, very passionate about this case. And that's why it's important for us to make the I want to distinguish that this is not vigilantism.
Not
this
at all.
Is different. No. This is, Tony, I don't know what you do. I know you have daughters like I do. If somebody snatched one of my kids, if a known predator who is already just abused my child is let out on bond and then gets his claws, I am assuming with these charges still pending that my kid is not coming back alive. So I am assuming that I have to do whatever I have to do to get my kid. And I would have done the exact same thing that Spencer did.
Bob, and can I interrupt you a second, Bob?
Of course.
So I don't have any kids. But I understand the mama and papa bear instinct.
Yeah.
What's happened here, anybody who has children and those who don't can even nod their heads and go, I get exactly what he did. Yes, he killed somebody, but this is a father protecting his child. Is there any provision in the law that will allow this man to not spend the rest of his life in prison for what he did?
Yeah, and it's under Arkansas law, it's defense of others. So that's it's because and it's a better argument for them than say self-defense because frankly, the only eyewitness to what happened is the daughter. And you know, the concept of re-traumatizing her, making her have to get up on the stand and basically testify against the man who had groomed her in order to save her father's life in terms of him going to prison is an awful situation. I mean, in my estimation, this case should never have been brought.
Yeah.
You know, the county attorney down there is, you know, of the mindset, look, you know, this is a case we have to let a jury decide. I disagree wholeheartedly. But the self-defense claim would be tougher because you don't know exactly what happened. And frankly, I wouldn't want to get into the kind of the swampy area that that would be in terms of whether or not Aaron Spencer's mindset was that he thought that he was going to be either seriously harmed or injured or killed in terms of measuring whether or not his response to what Foster was doing was appropriate, thereby him shooting him was justified. Instead, I'd be focusing completely on the fact that I did what I had to do in that moment because my daughter wasn't getting out of the truck. This man was coming out of the truck. He appeared to have something in his hand. I wasn't going to wait around for the police to come because as far as I'm concerned, this is a guy who came to my home, took my child out of her house, out of our house, no matter, and I don't care how it happened. This guy did not care. And if I didn't do something at that moment in time, this guy was going to get back in that truck with my daughter in there and take off. And one way or another, this thing was going to end the way that it ended because I wasn't going to let this man kill my daughter, which is exactly what I would be thinking. I mean, this guy had nothing to lose at this point. He had 43 charges pending. He was a former cop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, this guy knows better. This guy did not care. He had zero regard for the law. He did not care that he had a no contact order with this family at all. So for me, where it's standing right now, the defense has filed a motion to dismiss. I don't have the current state of the law in Arkansas, which is pretty shocking, Tony, considering that's where you live.
Yeah.
It's the only state in the union whereby a county attorney or a prosecuting attorney could go in and essentially unilaterally with full autonomy go in and file charges, not having to go to a grand jury. And you don't have a right. It's solely on an information. And just so people understand, an information is where either the cops or the prosecuting attorney write up a statement of facts. They submit it to the judge and they say, okay, in your state. And they say, okay, this is what we got. And the judge says, okay, you've got enough to get an arrest warrant. You have no right in Arkansas to demand either a preliminary hearing where you can challenge that or a grand jury. So, I mean, you have a situation in your state where a prosecutor has unfettered power to go in on it strictly just an information and get people charged with crimes. And that is terrifying. That takes away. There is
no. That's spooky shit.
Isn't it?
It is. And the problem with the motion to dismiss is it's saying that is bad law. We are the only.
Well, it's unconstitutional.
It really is. I mean, where is the due process?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think that it'll succeed at the trial court level.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think it's something that has to get looked at either by the Arkansas Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court at some point. But sadly, that would only occur if Aaron Spencer is convicted. I mean, that's when appeals happen. You don't get appeals, but that's how you change the law. Like the law as it's currently situated in Arkansas is not going to support this judge saying, okay, yeah, you're right. This is bad law. I'm going to dismiss the charges. And even if they did, this guy could turn around and try to go to a grand jury. The problem for the prosecuting attorney and the way that he did it this way is you are not getting citizen grand jurors that are going to hear the story and are going to say, yeah, we're going to true bill him. We're going to indict him with
doesn't that DA have a choice though? It's not like his hand is forced here and I have to charge this guy. It's a choice of that person's level. It's their judgment call to say, no, I'm not going to prosecute this.
He's 100%, Tony. He absolutely.
Then why would anyone try and prosecute? I mean, what on earth is going on that one would think this makes a lot of sense here?
Well, I don't quite get it. He killed somebody. Where they're coming from.
But obviously everybody's different how we look at things. Is this DA someone who is, you know, just one of those procedure folks? Like, we're going to follow procedure no matter what, no matter how insane, you know, the actual reality on reality's terms is telling us, but by the book, we got to go this way. Is it as simple as that? Or is there something else going on here?
It's hard to know because... Yeah. Two other little factoids that I want to bring up is the very judge that let this guy out on a $5,000 bond is the exact same judge who is sitting on Aaron Spencer's case. So that to me is incredibly disturbing. And when she got Aaron Spencer's case within weeks, she put out this gag order that was insane.
Yeah. What was that? Let's talk about that a little bit too.
It gagged everybody. It didn't just gag the Spencers, the parties. It gagged the world from talking about this case. It was so brutal that the defense said, okay, we're appealing this gag order because it's absurd. And they went up and appealed it to the Arkansas Supreme Court. The Arkansas Supreme Court agreed wholeheartedly that this is just an insane gag order. You can't gag the world from talking about this case, and of course they removed the gag. They just flamed through her opinion. They also pointed out everything about this case just drives me insane.
Yeah.
So it turns out that she had taken the gag order from another case from a precedent wherein that had been also overruled by the Arkansas Supreme Court, and she cut and pasted the language from the offending gag order and used it as her template for her gag order. So the Supreme Court of Arkansas noted that and said, wow, it's like the amount of time that it took you to review the state's order or the state's motion rather was shorter than the amount of time that it takes to make a pot of coffee. So you put no real thought into this and you just issued this gag order. And in the opinion, one of the justices said, look, not only do I think that this judge ran afoul of the law here with this gag order, but I think that she needs to be removed and a new judge be put in place. And unfortunately, that wasn't the rule of the opinion because it wasn't the judge who had written the opinion. All right. So it was another judge who had written it. And man, it's just a case that if you care about the state of the world, if you care about, you know, your kids, it's one of those cases that resonates with you. You know, I'm a father of four.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I heard about this case, I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, and this isn't, who's the guy who shot the kid? The guy who had molested his son. He was waiting at a phone bank. He was in custody. Gary.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't think of the name.
I always forget his
name. Way back.
Like, that was vigilanteism.
Yes.
You know, like, that was a situation where, you know, this guy saw an opportunity when they were transporting that, you know, that alleged criminal, and he took a shot. And he made it, you know.
Sure.
This isn't that. This is a completely different set of circumstances as to why this prosecutor is proceeding on it. I think it's probably what Stacey is saying. In his estimation, this is a case that's got to go to a jury. You know, maybe he's of the mindset, look, no jury's going to convict him, but I still have to go through the process are coming back. But you know, that family having to go through the
exactly
trial
and drag this family that's already been victimized. Yeah. Now the system's victimizing them. That's incompetency on the part of the prosecutor.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way.
hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.